What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. And we're live broadcasting from Los Angeles. We're going to chop up some very good game today. And we're going to have our brother Dr. Claude Anderson call in. We're going to call him and chop up some good game. Bumping that Mink Slide. Y'all better go to minkslide.com and get that album. Anyway, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And I mean real quick. So don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, go to YouTube and check out the new YouTube channel called Tough Love Dating. Now, Tough Love Dating, that's a channel that teaches men how to navigate through the dating world by being more alpha. It teaches you how to be more masculine, and it teaches you how to get your money right. So, again, go to Tough Love Dating right now and subscribe on YouTube right now and step your game up. Yo, what's up, family? Check out Void Beast on Kickstarter. Now, Void Beast, that is a comic book by our brother Matthew Jones. Void Beast is a supernatural action adventure about a hero named TJ. TJ learns how to use his new powers before the main antagonist comes to take him down. So you need to go to Kickstarter, support the brother's comic book. That's Void Beast on Kickstarter, and follow my brother on Instagram at AKACHIJONES, Void Beast. Check it out. Do you need a personalized website to sell your products? You're tired of phony web designers claiming they can build your website to sell you a product? Well, come to AstroWebNet.com. They have everything you need to open up your own online store. You don't need technical skills to build a successful web store. Their quick shopping cart makes it easy to create an eye-catching store that accepts credit cards, integrate with Google, eBay, and it offers multiple shipping options. So you can do all of this with no setup fees. So go right now to AstroWebNet.com. That's AstroWebNet.com. What's up, family? You need to check out BlackStarSurvival.com right now. BlackStar Survival, they offer first aid kits, survival kits, body armor, and many, many more items aimed at helping the Melanoid family prepare and survive disasters, emergencies, and much, much more. So this site is a must. You have to go to BlackStarSurvival.com. Again, that's BlackStarSurvival.com. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit LegendaryMix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@LegendaryMix.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mid Slide Live in Concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Whenever I'm with you. Is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the funk party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest, the APX, at Ticketmaster.com. Go to minkslide.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Oh, we're back. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Welcome back, everybody. We are back. Ready to chop up game. Let me call Dr. Anderson right now and get this thing popping. On this phone, he's going to be on the show today. He's waiting on me to call him. Let me give him a buzz now. Come on, Skype. Where you at? All right, so I'm calling him now. Hold on 1 second. We're getting Dr. Anderson on the phone now.
Hello?
Yes, Dr. Anderson, please.
Is this Tariq?
Yes.
Hold on 1 second, okay?
Okay. Y'all bear with us. How y'all doing, though, family? Everybody's tuning in right now. Waiting on Dr. Anderson. He's over there eating a fish sandwich or something. You dig? Waiting on us to get on the air.
Hello.
What's up, Dr. Anderson?
Yes, is this Tariq?
This is Tariq. We're live on the air right now. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm trying to grow up and be like you. I told you that before.
So, brother, there was a lot of stuff I want to touch on. First of all, before I get into some of the stuff I want to talk about, what's the name of your latest book again? Let everybody know the name of the latest book you have out right now.
The latest book is called The Black History Reader, 101 Questions That You Never Thought to Ask. This is a comprehensive analysis of the whole five books I put out. This is the topping it off. As I said, the first book was based on black labor, white wealth, to show how everything was maldistributed, how blacks wound up with nothing as a direct result of slavery. The second book was about powernomics, saying now that white racism is not perfect. You can beat it if you follow these seven steps. That was the second book called Empowerment Plan for Black Folk. The third book and the fourth book was called Dirty Little Secrets, about black history and black heroes and other troublemakers, one and two. And this final book, number five, it's called The Black History Reader, and what it does, it encapsulates everything that black folks should possibly want to know, and those books are being sold now as what's called a library pack, all five books and a DVD for $99, and that's the most popular books right now. That's why even if you go to Amazon, you'll see that every one of them is rated as five stars,
yep.
And they're the best books ever been written in the history about black folk.
Yes, indeed. Now, you know, we just had the midterms now in the United States. There was a lot of campaigning towards black people. They were trying to get black people to get out and vote, but they would never tell us why or what we were voting for. They kept pushing immigration. We kept hearing LGBT. How has this stuff worked to benefit black people, Dr. Anderson?
You've been snowballed. That's what it is. It's been going on now ever since when slavery was first initiated in the 1500s. And they came up with a concept called the Doctrine of Unequal Exchange, which means that's what slavery was based on in Europe, which means that we can go to Africa and pick these blacks up for practically a few dollars and take them around the world and sell them and make profit off of them. That's called the Doctrine of Unequal Exchange. That was built into the United States Constitution. And that's what they're functioning on. They're saying that as long as you're in America as black people, it's built into the Constitution that never, never will you get anything out of it, of any significance. That's why out of slavery, you got nothing. And at the end of slavery, you only, that the 265,000 blacks that were free only control 0.5% or 1% of anything in value. Here you are in 1960, you still own 1.5%, I mean 0.5% of anything of value. In a nation where, in the richest nation in the world, there's nothing professionally, there's no land, no resources, anything of wealth and power, where black folk only control more than 0.5% or 1%. And when you go to these elections, they're snowballing you and BSing you. And every time blacks fall for it, because they use the same concept that was used in the Constitution to snowball black folk right now in these midterm elections.
And you notice what I see a lot of people talking about, how there's so many black people running. I keep hearing that narrative. We should go and vote because there's a black person here. There's a black person there running.
Who cares? Who cares? That's called doubling your stupidity. That I did a study on that way back in 1960, Tariq. In 1960, I did an analysis, and I checked the social discomfort indicators, like black unemployment, black imprisonment, black poverty, black lack of business, black dysfunctional schools and dysfunctional families. I analyzed those discomfort indicators in 1960, because in 1960 you only had 103 black elected officials in the entire United States. When I looked at the discomfort indicators, and they were all negative for black folk, I waited and did that same exact study again 30 years later in 1990. And I said, but why? Because in 1990, the number of black elected officials in the United States had gone from 100 all the way up to over 9,000. That constituted a 9,000% increase. Now, common sense and logic says if you increase something 9,000 times, then your condition should have improved. But when I looked at those social discomfort indicators, not only did black folk not improve, they went backwards. Because they got snowballed in a thing called social integration and civil rights that both have been corrupted, and what the society did then, they used the benign neglect policies of Nixon, and a new concept that came out in the 1970s called political correctness to bury black folk, and make sure that no conditions changed, and that's why right now it doesn't make one iota difference whether you put a black person in office or not. Because there's no direct connection between putting a black person in office and black folk getting benefits. And that defeats the purpose of politics. It defeats the purpose of voting. You vote, you don't vote for the exercise of any rights. Nobody cares about your rights. Nobody's coming to America looking to vote. They come here to get wealth and power and resources. They trick black folk because they know black folk either uneducated or some of them just don't resistance to any kind of intellectual thoughts. And you can't. They're not coming here. They're coming here to compete with you. That's why it's a waste of time in voting for a black person unless you get them to commit to promising and delivering something specifically and solely for black folk through your political parties or through a candidate.
Now, the thing is, we've been hearing a lot of black people, well, we should go out and vote because our ancestors fought for the right to vote. They've been running that game on us. What's that? Go ahead.
No, they did not. That's a lie. Whoever told you that, they lied to you. They didn't vote for no. They didn't die for no right to vote, because they died because they didn't have any resources. See, the whole 15th Amendment came into effect in some effort to correct the 1857 Dred Scott decision, which says that black people have no rights that white folk are bound to respect. That was in 1857, a Supreme Court ruling, and so when slavery ended. In 1865, then you had a few radical Republicans who said, you know what, we owe it to black folk. We've enslaved them, mistreated them, castrated them, lynched them, worked them, and never compensated them for 360 years. We got to do something for them. They said, because if you don't do something for them, minimally, they can't make it. There's only two things that black folk can be in America, they said. These are a few radical Republicans. They said they would either have to be slaves or they'd be free. But to be free, they must minimally have 40 acres, a mule, and $100. And as soon as they said that, immediately the Supreme Court jumped on that and corrupted it and distorted it so that blacks forgot nothing. And so they did the same thing to the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment. And so there's no, and there's nothing that black folk can get out of the 15th Amendment. They're the only people that in this country that was ever given a right to vote up until 1919 when they gave it to women, and they gave it to women just to, so they can vote for the white male to keep black folk locked in box. Now, every immigrant came to this country automatically had a right to vote. Black people were the first group in 360 years by the 15th Amendment given the right to vote, but it was neutralized. So they, now it ain't worth 2 cents and a quarter.
In your book, the latest book, The Black History Reader, there was a part in there that was very interesting, talking about how the Brown versus the Board of Education case in the 1950s, that was really about black people getting resources into black schools. Am I correct on that?
You're absolutely right. You're right on the money, as usual, Tariq. You're right on the money. But see, your NAACP screwed that one up and helped white folk corrupt it. Because you see, back in South Carolina, in Clinton, South Carolina, where I was born and came from, at that point in time, the issue was over a lack of proper resources. Because and at that time, in about 1948, 1949, black kids walked to school every day in mud, rain, and snow, while white kids rode in buses to school at night where it's nice and warm and dry. Black teachers were getting only $1.50 to educate a black child. White teachers were getting $12 to educate a black child. White kids, again, were getting the best textbooks and materials every year. Black kids had to spend the first week of school in September doing nothing but erase it and clean up and putting Scotch tape and washing everything that was being sent over from the white schools to the black schools. Blacks had to use secondhand, hand-me-down materials and glue up the pages and everything. And where white kids had tennis courts, black folk had none. White schools had swimming pools. Black folks dammed up the creek and swam in the creek. So what the parents were saying is that we want equal resources to that white folk have. And but the NAACP found out about that after the court case got up to Supreme Court. The NAACP jumped in and says, well, the best thing we can do is not give black folk the resources. Let's just close down everything that looks like it's black and switch everything over to whiteness and let black folk become a guest in what white folks own in their schools, their businesses, their culture, their history, their nation, their restaurants, and their theaters. That was backwards. That took black folk back all the way back into slavery again.
And also, when it comes to this immigration thing, because all the black politicians are set out there by the Democrats to push this immigration thing, up until the 1960s, most black leaders and black spokespersons, they were against immigration. Is that true or not?
That was absolutely true. You're absolutely right again. See, if you'd gone back to after slavery, Tariq, I don't care whether you're talking about Booker T. Washington or W.B. Du Bois or Franklin, Frederick Douglass, or anybody. What they were talking about was black issues. They kept saying repeatedly, "Quit bringing in all these immigrants over us and burying us, and give us a right." Because what black people have never raised Cain about, that's why it's very highly unlikely to succeed. Because our people don't understand the Constitution. When the Constitution was ratified in 1789, the following year, the first thing that the whites did was pass the first naturalization and immigration law, which says in this country that anybody can come to this country and get free land and free black labor from any place on earth except black folk. That was the first naturalization immigration law. And so as a result of that, all through slavery, black leadership always fought against immigration. They did it all the way up until the Civil Rights Movement. And then in 1928, black folk even said, we need a special program for black people. But when Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement started, they distorted it. They changed the whole issue from being a black-white issue and getting resources in the hands of black folk and getting them rights. They said, well, let's just integrate, and which means forget about trying to correct the purpose of slavery. And because the purpose of slavery was to maldistribute 100% of all this nation's land, businesses, income, rights, privileges, resources, and controls of all levels of government into the hands of the dominant white society. That was the purpose of slavery. And in the 1960s, with the Civil Rights Movement, the integration movement, the issue should have never been integration. It should have never been civil rights. It should have been correcting the purposes of slavery. and correcting all those maldistribution of resources and rights and privileges into the hands of whites. That was, should have been the issue. But black folk got confused by trying to get along with whites and say, you know what, if y'all just let us give us a chance, we'll show that we're not different from you all. Well, all we want to do is be accepted. All they want to do in the civil rights movement is be accepted in white schools, white businesses, white everything. And they and white folk took that to their advantage and good. If you that darn bigger fools, we're going to build a highway act and run a highway through every black community in America to destroy the little advancements you did make. And they called it, and later on they called it urban renewal. Took up, tore down everything black folks had because black folk were silly enough to want to integrate. Integration is a weakening process. You can't put cream in sugar and make it stronger. Anytime you integrate something, you weaken it and you scatter it.
And you know what's interesting? A lot of these immigrant groups, and I speak on this all the time, all these immigrant groups come over and we fight for them to come over. And they come over and work directly against us. Many of them start voting Republican, just like in Miami down there. A lot of them, those Latinos and Hispanic, they were voting Republican.
But they're supposed to. Tariq, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what because we bring them over. Because, see, they're coming over. They are classified as whites. And whites have tricked and bamboozled the black folk by confusing the whole concept of race and racism. And they don't understand what they're doing, and all even the ones with a college education, the ones running for public office, the black civil rights leaders and ministers, they don't even understand what the definition of race is, or racism. And so all those groups coming into the country, they're not coming here to get along with black folk. They are subcultures and sub-ethnics of the white race. See, Hispanics were classified as whites up until 1970. Arabs are classified as whites. Arabs are just a whites who practice Islam and got a culture. Hispanics are whites who are speaking Spanish and practicing Catholicism. Asians were put on probation up until late 1900s. They were on probation to be white. Now they're whites. Mm-hmm. American Indians were classified as whites. And everybody on earth is classified as whites except black. But the way they cover this up, is they try to broaden the concept of race. Race is a vertical order between whites and blacks. It's a competition between whites and blacks. It started out in the 1500s. But they now try to magnify it. You watch them on TV, and no black ever stand up and say, hey, the Hispanics are not a race. Jews are not a race. Arabs are not a race. Indians are not a race. And Asians are not a race. But they use that word to camouflage it so they keep black folk down. Black folk don't know it. And black folk go along with that every time. They never say, no, those are not races. Those are culture groups and language groups. They are classified as sub-ethnics of the white culture.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the Native Americans. We have those treaties, the 1866 treaty. Why hasn't that treaty been enforced? And can you please explain to people what that treaty is?
Well, see, and it hasn't been enforced because, again, you got silly black leadership. And that's from the universities all the way up to what's called the black overclass. University professors, black civil rights leaders, black elected officials, black ministers, they have no understanding what the issues are. None of them ever read my books. They don't read them because they're so busy want to be integrated into the white society, be accepted to the whites. They don't even read the damn books. But the 1866 treaties are key for the black. That's one thing that every black should be pressing hard right now. It is an issue that came out of the fact that slavery could not have existed, Tariq, without the full, wholehearted support of American, so-called American Indians. Mm-hmm. That's and the first treaties in the New York treaties back in 1516, the first treaty the whites set up. They set it up to make sure that Indians could not align themselves with black slaves, any black slaves, all the way down to the PD River down in South Carolina. They want to make sure that in case, as they pursued enslaving blacks as a labor class in America, that they could not take the gamble of having blacks uniting with Indians. And so every Indian treaty included a provision that says, if you side with us to maintain slavery in this country as Indians, we will grant you certain things. We will grant you some money. We'll give you some clothes. We'll teach you, we'll culture you, rise you, send you to school. And we'll pay you for every slave that runs away. We'll give you $25 to bring him back. If you can't bring him back alive, then you can torture him and bring back his scalp with the ears attached. We'll give you $20. And so every tribe, every one of those tribes, the majors, and they said, if you stay out with us, we'll also start calling you civilized. So the five civilized tribes, that's why all the tribes fell underneath that. The Choctaw, Chickasaw, Cherokee, Creek Indians, and Seminole Indians. Those are the big tribes. All the other Indians tribes fell up underneath that. And all those tribes sided with the South and maintained slavery throughout for the first 300 years. Indians sided with whites. They chased black folk down and tortured them. That's why a lot of blacks were scared to run away from the run away from a plantation, because the Indians caught them out there. They would torture them and kill them and bring their scalps back. Mm. That's where it started. It started with Indians scalping blacks. Now, when the treatment, when the Civil War started, I know I'm giving you a long explanation.
No, it's good. It's good. Go ahead.
But when the war started, when the Civil War started, all the Indians, the Indian major civilized tribes, all five of them, went down and sided with the Southern Confederacy, the red states that you talk about on the map, the red states with rednecks. They sided with the South to fight to maintain slavery. They sided and signed agreements with them called the Confederate Agreements with the Indian tribes to fight for the South. And the Indians, like the whites did, they initiated what's called a black flag policy, which means if you catch any black fighting with the North in the Union Army and they're not slaves, you're to kill them instantly. Don't ever take a black as a prisoner. That's called a black flag process. That's why in all these camps, in the military camps between the Civil War, you don't bring in black prisoners. You kill them on the spot. And the Indians did the same thing. And so consequently, when the war ended, what happened then, you still had, even though slavery was outlawed with the end of the Civil War, 2 years later in 1866, the Choctaw and Chickasaw Indians, as an example, were still holding 12,000 and 16,000 blacks as slaves. All these tribes were slaveholders and slave traders and slave chasers. They held blacks in slavery. Indians were never, never, never friends to Indians, to black folk. And so then the government had to go in there in those Indian territories and say, look, it's against the law for you all to continue to hold black slaves. Turn them loose. And you must turn them loose and sign these agreements. So all those five civilized tribes had to sign the 1866 Indian treaties. And in those treaties, it stipulated, based on the 13th Amendment, which says every level of government is mandated to use all necessary means to treat black folk in a manner similar to the way anybody else or Indians in this country and how Indians are treated. And whatever Indians get, black folks will get. And then in that treaty, it says, one, let me run through these points very quickly for you.
Go ahead.
One, you set every black person free, black Indian, black freeman, and free blacks. That means any black who lived in Indian territory would be equated to be equal to an Indian. Every black who had been slaves were treated equally, and every mixed black who had mixed with Indians would be treated equal to them, and they must be set free. One, not only to be set free, the second point, once you set them free, you must give each one of them $150. And the government gave the Indians money to give to the blacks, and they're supposed to give them blacks $150 each. Three, you must also allow them to have access to any reservation and any resource on those reservations. Four, you must also elect them to attend schools, any Indian schools that were set up. Because while they were denying black folk a right to go to school, say if anybody get caught teaching a black person to read and write, it'll cost you $100.39. But Indians could have a right to go to school. They had to go to Indian schools. And so they were supposed to let black folk go to schools with those Indians. Point five is that black folks should be tax-free and not paying the taxes, just like the Indians were paying taxes. Six, that they should be treated as a sovereignty. That's why they set up what's called the Freedmen Banks, the Freedmen's Bureau, where black folks should be put into a protected class, just like you put Indians in a protected class and women today are in a protected class. You're supposed to put those blacks into the Freedmen Bureau protected class where nobody can come in and compete with them, that these immigrants cannot come in here like they're doing now and get over black folks and be equal to black folk and mistreat black folk and take things away from black folk. But the Indian Bureau stayed in there for about 10 years and was killed off like everything else. But those treaties, the last thing those treaties said is that black folks should have a right also to they could start declared sovereign and could start gambling casinos just like these American Indians. Those 1866 Indian treaties, that is a law. But you've never had not one single black elected official, one black civil rights leader, or one black member of the overclass or black white person ever carry out those treaty responsibilities on black folk, which means they're violating the law. That's why Obama, Obama, every year that he was in office, every Christmas he invited 564 white Indian chiefs to come to the White House and get benefits free. He gave them $3.5 billion every year that they came to the White House. And they for $35 billion, he didn't invite not one black. He broke the law. He violated the Constitution. He violated 1866 Indian Treaty, because those laws are in fact, those are the things that black folks should be getting. And so the issue, as two or three white congressmen told me, Dr. Anderson, you're right on the money, but you're the only black in the history of this nation ever understood this stuff. It's raised Cain about it. They say, but you're not. They're running you through the courts. And you go, I'm in court right now. I've been in court for 10 years fighting for black folk. I use my Harvest Institute money to pay for it. That's why every contribution, I use that to pay the lawyers. But they said the reason you're having such a hard time getting these billions of dollars that black folk are entitled to, black folk are entitled to hundreds of billions of dollars. You're not getting it because you have no black leadership, and you have no black fighting. And the whites are running you through the courts and wasting your money and time and energy when the issue is not a legal issue, it's a political issue. And you got no blacks in America to understand this. You got very few blacks that give a damn. And I got black congressmen, white congressmen like Congressman Corn out of Tennessee, or Yakmo out of Kentucky, or Maribut out of West Virginia. These white congressmen said, you are right, but you're the only one in the nation that understands these issues and got enough backbone to step and fight for the monies your people are entitled to under the 1866 Indian treaties.
Now, is this one of the reasons why a lot of these Native American tribes keep kicking black people out? You always see these stories about how some Indian tribe has expelled all the black members.
Say it again now.
Is this one of the reasons why a lot of these Indian tribes, you will hear stories about them kicking out the black members?
Well, you're right, but see, you're right, but there's another reason for it, Tariq, and that's what you need to keep punching our people with, that 92% of all the so-called Indians in America are not Indians. Those are whites who are passing as Indians.
Mm-hmm.
When the Dawes Commission was set up in the 1890s, like 1896, and went up to about almost 206, it was set up to list all the so-called blacks under 1866 treaty, what benefits, and register those blacks. When the whites found out that they were setting up a Dawes Commission to find and identify black freedmen and black Indians and free blacks who should be getting these benefits, these whites went down and paid $5 to the Dawes Commission to put their names on the Indian rolls and give a pretense that somehow they were Indians. And they're not Indians. That's why 92% of the people called Indians now are nothing but whites passing as Indians. That's the issue you heard recently between Donald Trump and Senator Warren, where she said she had Indian blood. None of these whites have any Indian blood. That was set up and bought. They paid $5, and history called them $5 Indians. Mm-hmm. Then in the historical books, they paid $5 to get benefits that black folks should have been getting, and black folks been shut out. Because you have no backbone, you have no blacks who had the intellect or the commitment to save their own damn people.
Now, a lot of with these elected officials now, a lot of black people are scared to say they want something for black folks, because one of the excuses I hear is that, well, if we ask for something for black people, the white people will be scared off. The white liberal voters will be scared off. Should we be concerned about that?
Who cares? Who cares? So what? Liberals, there's not one iota difference between a liberal and a conservative.
Mm.
A conservative comes from the root word to conserve. To conserve means to hold on what you got, or to say that those who don't have ain't never going to get. That's what a conservative is. And you see these conservatives right now on TV every day bragging and boasting about being a conservative and putting conservatives on the Supreme Court. And black folks don't even know what a damn conservative is. That means that you never had anything, you're never going to get anything. They're going to keep you down to less than 0.5% of anything, so you're non-competitive. And that's it being intentionally done. But you got black folk that don't understand that, but thinking they got to have white support. And you're never going to get white support. A liberal, on the other hand, where a conservative would blow your boat up and sink your boat and see, a liberal just try to get on that boat and just comfort you and give you a pillow as the boat goes down. A liberal is not going to be any distant from a white. They're going to just try to make blacks feel good. That's why all these blacks that you see in the civil rights movement, 98% of them know that black folk are in a ditch, that right now that 38% of all the black folk beneath the poverty line, that every black in America is bearing 6 to 8 times their fair share of everything is bad, They know that right now the unemployment rate in America is not 4% for black folk. It's over 51% in New York. It's 35% nationally, 48% in Detroit, 48% in Baltimore, 49% in Pittsburgh with unemployment rate. We got a structural unemployment rate. Black folk have been unemployed so long, they're not even looking for jobs anymore. The people that they use for the employment roles are those people who are either searching for a job or collecting unemployment compensation. There's a game being run on black folk. You can't get any respect from it. And then when you see these liberal people talking about, we got to have whites, what you need to do is pull out of politics and go back to the primary purpose of politics. Politics came into existence, Tariq, in the 1500s. It came into existence right after slavery. And it came in because slavery is an economic issue. And they said, whoever gets the money will control everything. That's the biggest power on the earth is economic power. That came in like about 1503. By about 1509 or so, they come up with the concept of politics. Politics is based on a very simple premise. Do not believe the crap that you hear the people telling you that politics is the art of compromise. It's the art of getting along. That's a lie. If you got the power, you don't have to compromise on anything. Politics is supposed to be based on a very simple premise called quid pro quo, something for something. One hand washes the other. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. If I vote for you, you owe me. If I put you in office, you're supposed to deliver. And then when you go to office, you pick up the Bible, you put your hand on the Bible, you swear to protect and serve those who voted you in the office. We have a nation of representative government, which means you're most supposed to represent those people who elect you to office. That's true with everybody but black folk. That's why all these fights coming up from the Confederate states, and that's what you see on the map right now. The Southern Confederacy has risen. It's up again. It's still controlling. It can win anytime they want to, and I'll explain that to you a little later. But right now, the Southern states got about 30% of the population, but they control 70% of the nation's political clout. That's why Trump is so strong. That's based on the Electoral College that went into effect in the 1830s. To be able to make sure those slave states had the power. They still got the power. You cannot beat them. They got electoral colleges in there. I was a member of it when I was down in Florida, when I ran Jimmy Carter's campaign. The deck is stacked against black folk. You got to pull out of politics and go back to the premise of saying, what's the point of politics? It's not to get along. You're supposed to be getting benefits. And don't worry about voting. Get your money in place. Nobody cares about your vote. You outnumber 10 to 1. That means in the United States, you got 10 whites, Asian, Arabs, and Hispanic voting against black folk. Nobody needs your one vote. 9 will go over, or 10 will go over 1, 10 times with nothing left over. They don't need your vote to do anything.
Why do they make it seem like it's so important for black people to vote?
Huh?
Why do they make it seem like it's so important for black people to vote?
Because they figure we're big enough fools to go believe that. That's called they do the same thing in magic, Tariq. I mean, you go to a magic show. It's called raise your right hand so your left hand pull the trick. Nobody knows what's happening. Mm. It's called now you see, now you don't. And they've been doing that throughout. They give blacks a feeling that emotionally they contributed something. They got some value. They don't have any value. That's why nothing changes for you. Why do you think black folk have been in this country for 460 years as the backbone of the nation? They were the people that picked the cotton. The people that picked the rice and the indigo, that cleared the land, pull up the trees, kill off the animals, the people that built the bridges, the highways, the roads. They're the oldest population in America. They're the only people denied a religion, an education, denied to be paid for their resources, for their energies. And the only people that's consistently lynched with 67% of all the hate crime against them. They're the only people that fought in every war from this nation. Black folk are the most patriotic people in the nation. Nothing happens to black folk by accident. It's inflicted on them intentionally because black folk are silly enough to let it go down and never say, I don't understand this. I'm going to start reading and understanding. That's why I wrote those 5 books called the Library Pack, for the Powernomics Library Pack. They can get by going to www.powernomics.com and get ordering the Power Packs for $99 and start reading. They should be getting it for the holidays and reading it year-round. Every black home should have the Library Pack. They don't need any other books. Any other books they got, the history books, get a big garbage bag and throw them in there and put them outside. You read those 5 books and your kids would go from the first grade to the college. They would understand everything they need to know about racism, how it came about, what keeps it the way it is, and what to do to get the hell out of it.
Absolutely. And Asian people, the Asian groups, when they come over here, they're the lowest voter turnouts in the country, but they seem to have more political protection and political clout than black people. Why is that?
Because they figure we're a big enough fool. They don't need it. They understand the point. They're not coming here to vote. Nobody comes here to vote. Nobody's going to cross the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean at a time or break into a nation just to vote. They're coming here to get wealth and resources. That's why back in the 1880s, the Asians came after the Civil War was over, and Asians began to pour into the country. And they came into the country. They came in here looking for resources and rights, particularly in California. And they wanted to get land out there and set up residence and businesses in California. And they went to court and filed lawsuits called the Yoke and Wick Supreme Court decision. They filed a court decision, got a court decision in the 1880s and again in about 1910 to say that under no circumstances, as we as Asians, well, we would want to be identified with, associated with black people under any circumstance. Mm. We would not live with them. We would not go to school with them. And we will not hire them. We don't want them in our business. We will not do business with them. Those are statutory things and customary things that have been in effect now for over hundreds of years. And even the Wall Street Journal had articles where they tell you up front, we do not hire black folk. We don't do business with them. And that's why now you're talking about you from California. I mean, when Carl Nelson, well, that was set up Mystic Radio down in Miami, and he went over to one Asian guy who was the biggest seller of foodstuffs into the Caribbean island, to the Black Islands. He became a multi-billionaire off of selling food products strictly to Black Caribbeans. Mm. And after he showed Carl around his big building and how he became a billionaire, he asked Carl Nelson from your area, from California, said, Carl, what can I do for you? Carl said, well, we got Mystic Radio here in Atlanta. What I want you to do is just simply buy some time, advertising time, on our radio station. And his agent said, I'm sorry, Carl, I can't do that. And so Carl Nelson said, why not? He said, because that's against my culture.
Mm.
In my culture, the rule is that a black man must always follow the Chinaman. The Chinaman must never follow the black man.
Wow.
And when more blacks came here to Washington, D.C., to 8th Street, they went down to the 8th Street Chinatown and went down and they wanted to talk to the Chinese, to the Asian merchants, not the Chinese, but Asian merchants. And they said, we're going to distribute some product. We want to be able to sell to you Asians. And we're going to sell you some of the same product you got on your shelves. We'll give you a 25 to 30% discount. And the Asian merchant says, I'm sorry, we're not interested. And the black distributor said, you mean if we give you a 25 to 30% discount, you're still not interested? And we're going to give you the same product? They said, no, we're not. And they said, why not? They said, because you black people do not understand anything. You don't understand. It's not the money. It's that we only do business with our own people. That's why right now, when I had this, my fish factory, and I weighed 8 million pounds, and guess what? My primary customers were coming in were Asians. The blacks, out of 8 million pounds of fish, I sold 40 fish to black folk out of 8 million over 8 years. Man, but the Asians was coming out there every week, different trucks, and buying 10,000 and 15,000 pounds at a time. And they said, Dr. Elson, you're the only black person we know that we buy from. We don't sell, most of them, we don't do it. We don't buy anything from other black folk. That's why when I looked around in Asia, I found almost 33,000 Asians who have become multimillionaires off of just selling products and goods and things to blacks in America. Mm. 33,000 Asians who become multimillionaires. But I cannot find one black who became a multimillionaire off of selling anything to Asians.
Mm. Speaking of Asians, a lot of them, they're talking about them as it relates to affirmative action. How effective is affirmative action for black people now?
It's an absolute waste of time.
Mm.
I have the dubious honor of writing the second affirmative action plan in the entire United States. Your first affirmative action plan was the United States Constitution. Black folk don't even understand that the first affirmative action plan was the first Constitution that was written in 1789, strictly to elevate the quality of life, income, wealth, power, resources for whites. That was the first affirmative action plan. The second one I wrote in 1970. I wrote it for the state of Florida to give black folk. I did not write the affirmative action plan because for anybody else. The affirmative action means corrective action. Affirmative action means corrective action when I wrote it. Correcting something that slavery put in place that should have been taken out by the civil rights movement, but they failed to do it. And so affirmative action was supposed to have been elevating the quality of life, income, opportunities for black folk. But again, within about 6 months after I put that into effect in 1970-1971, the Cubans and all came into Miami, and they pushed, because Cubans are classified as whites, so they want to be included, and they want to be rewritten off as minorities. And they started competing with black folk. The same thing happened with the women, the gays, the midgets, the humpbacks, the lesbians, the peg leg people, people with hemorrhoids, ingrown toenails. They all got in and said, now affirmative action applies to everybody. They diluted it and watered it down. That's why they put blacks in these different categories, to water it down. That's why black folk right now, instead of pushing for black rights, they're pushing for civil rights. Civil rights, the civil rights thing was diluted and watered down in the 1860s to apply to everybody. That's why it's useless for black folk. Just like affirmative action.
Absolutely.
Black folk have not awakened yet and smelled the coffee. Go for yourselves. You have no friends and no allies any place in this earth, and probably a few on in the entire earth, period. Not only in the United States, you have no friends and allies.
Mm.
Go for yourself. Go for yourself. Look out for yourself. Rebuild your own community. Start getting some wealth and power. It's money. Money controls politics. Money controls the vote. Forget about voting. Get the money. You don't have to vote. Asians aren't worried about coming here to vote. They're not going to vote. They're not going to run any officials. No immigrant group is going to run a person in politics until they get an economic base. And see, black folk keep trying to play politics with no economic base. It is impossible in theory and practice for you to be successful practicing politics with no economic base. That's why Jews make up 1.5%, about a little less than 1% of the population. They can control all kinds of industries because they control it. They get what they want out of politics because they have an economic base. Black folk right now with 38% poverty rate and another 1/3 hanging on and right on the border fall into beneath the poverty line. They have no power because they have no money and no wealth and no resources.
And why don't we aggregate our money? Because all these other groups, they capitalize off us. We create an economic base for the Arabs, for the Asians, for the Indians, for even some African immigrants. We create their economic base, yet we don't create that same aggregated base for our own. Why don't we do that, in your opinion?
Well, because that was the second thing that slavery stripped black folk. Slavery not only denied black folk resources, wealth, land, power, and resources, but it also stripped them of one other thing that's essential for them coming together. It stripped them of a self-interest, a group self-interest, a group cohesiveness. That's why it's almost impossible for black folk to come together in the United States at any point, any time, and work together as a group on anything. It can't be done because all of them, they've been taught to believe in individualism, but then somehow to think that they are whites. So if you look at my power numbers book, you'll see the chart on that, where they're over there, they're trying to act like they're Europeans and focus on individualism, individual achievement, where all the other groups, all these other groups coming into the country, the Arabs, the Asians, Hispanics, they function as a group based on their teamwork and their family. They're family oriented. They play and they take care of each other. That's why they build communities. That's why all these groups come into America. The first thing they do is build a community. And I don't care whether it's Chinatown, Frenchtown, Germantown, Pole Town, Hockey Town, Little Mexico, Little Havana, Little Hialeah, Little Korea. They build communities and they play as a team. Black folk are the only people in America, to answer your question, do not have not one single solitary community in the entire United States.
Now, brother, from what I understand, you tried to build a black community in Detroit, and it was the Negroes that were your biggest opposition there. Is that correct?
That you're absolutely right.
Explain what happened, brother.
They not only there, they did it in Detroit, and at the same time trying to help black folk do it in in New Orleans, and also in Los Angeles, right there, you know, the racetrack right there in not Compton. What's the other town? What's the other little city there?
In L.A.? SoCal?
Huh?
Out here in SoCal, or where is it?
Yeah. Well, you know where the gambling casino, the racetrack is right there.
Inglewood. In Inglewood?
Englewood, yeah, in Englewood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I picked up land there for to build stuff for them, to get them started with a community. I did the same thing in New Orleans on Aretha Haley Boulevard, where I was going to build a 10-block square area for black folk. I put up $20,000 just to buy the first building, the old Hamlin building there, and where I was going to put for them to start with. I put in a nightclub there. I was putting in an ice cream shop for them. I'm going to put in a souvenir shop. And a restaurant, and told them what I'm going to do is start setting up a little bus service where they go downtown to the old French town, which used to be black. Now the whites own everything down in New Orleans and in the French quarters. Blacks don't own a damn thing down there. They're just tourists. After you start your own tourist area, so you can compete up here on Aretha Haley Boulevard. But you had a mayor at that time, a black guy who was a mayor there, who told black folk and told them that they don't need in the tourist district. They don't need any businesses. All they needed was low-income housing. Mm. And that killed that. The same thing in Detroit. When I was trying to build, I tied up 43 acres of land in Detroit, Michigan, between Epworth and Livernois and south of Grand River to build a black business district there. I'd lined up something like about 25 black industries that were going to come to Detroit. And 1,000 of them showed up at the Joe Louis Arena. Had a big forum there where they pledged they were going to relocate their factories in Detroit to build a big black business district. I had things like Dr. Rutherford producing African wear and clothing and sheeps and pillowcases and blankets in California, going to relocate his business to Detroit. I had Mr. Juicy coming out of Chicago to help black folk build a factory in Detroit. I had a straw and plastic extrusion plant coming out of Ohio, Detroit. I had the black poultry dealers out of St. Louis going to move to Detroit. I had the black, that was pork, but there's chicken farmers coming out of Texas going to move to Detroit. I can go on and on. And each one of them was bringing all kind of jobs, opportunities, and build a black industry. But guess what? White folks then came downtown and marched against the Sambos, except the only strong person left on them. Well, Joanne Watson was fought to protect it. Rose Milligan and Kwame Kiyada had about three or four blacks on the city council fault, but the three black Sambos went with the whites and told the whites in the suburbs, when the whites say would be racist in Detroit for me to build a big black business district in a city that was 92% white black. The city, it was 92% black. They said it would be racist for me to build businesses for blacks in a black city. And they said, we admit that Anderson is right, that in Detroit, it's a black city, that we do have a Chinatown, we have an Asian town, we have an Arab town, we have a hockey town, we have a court town, we have a pole town, we have a Mexican town, and we have a Greek town. But if you do something for black folk, it would be racist. If you do anything, he got to do it for all people. Mm. He can't just do it for black people. And so that's what killed it in Detroit, killed it in Los Angeles, and killed it in New Orleans. Black folk right now got a major problem. I don't know what is in their DNA, it was the leftover residue of ignorance that was imposed on them during slavery.
Do you remember in the 70s, there was a place called Soul City in North Carolina? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
What happened with that? Because I know you're from North Carolina, right? Well, you lived out there.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened with that?
Because he couldn't get the resource and support he needed at that time because of the immigration movement.
Mm.
You see the issue, Tariq, to make a long story short, it was always off ground. The issue, as I said earlier, the issue should never have been, do you black folk want integration or segregation? And see, when I spoke once in Tallahassee, Florida, at the Hilton Hotel, and a white guy came down, he said, Dr. Anderson, you know, he says, you're just confusing us. I said, why am I confused? And he said, because, you know, on one hand, you know, Malcolm X was talking about he wanted segregation, and you had Martin Luther King said he wanted integration. He said, that confused. I said, we don't know which end of the stick you all want. I said, I don't want any end of the stick. I don't want either end of the stick. I said, what I want is the same rights and privileges that all other groups come in this country have. I want to be able to go wherever I want to go, in the name and my people and their cohesiveness, and build what we want anytime, in one place, whether on any end of the stick. I said the issue should be ethno aggregation. It should never be segregation or integration. It should be ethno aggregation. We should have a right to come together and aggregate any place we want to. I said, you never ask whites, Asians, Arabs, Hispanics, Indians, or Koreans? Do you Koreans want to, y'all want integration or segregation? Do you Indians want integration or segregation? Our people are silly enough to let people keep asking them that dumbass question. They keep responding to it by saying, well, you know, I don't know whether I want to go back into segregation. You should be aggregating, pooling your resources. Pooling your resources, then going vertical and controlling everything in your community from the bottom to the top. And in my case, when I started the seafood stuff, that was from the boat to the throat. And like that's why right now you don't do it. That's why right now in the hair care industry, that's a multi-million-dollar industry. And guess what? 85 cents out of every dollar in black hair care goes to Koreans, because black folk can't come together at any time and learn how to dominate and control. The rule in powernomics in my books is that you must learn to control and dominate wherever you dominate in population and spending patterns. If you spend more money with your own people in a certain industry, you should own that industry. We ate 3 to 4 times more seafood than whites. We spent $9 for every $1 white spent in seafood. So I said we should be controlling the seafood industry from the bottom to the top. And black hair care. Blacks are the only people that have a certain kind of hairstyle. Why are Koreans controlling and getting all the money out of black folk? Nail shops, wig shops. But big Asians right now, Chinese, are going out cutting this hair off of horses and getting it out of Indian places. And with our hair, we got all kinds of diseases and contamination in it, and selling it to black women, got hair hanging from the head to their butts and painted pink and yellow and red and all kinds of diseases, messed up their scalps. And Asians are controlling the wig business, and they won't let anybody else into it. They're controlling everything about cosmetics, dealing with black folk, hair care, and everything is controlled by Asians, particularly about Koreans. In whiskey, black folk might consume 45% of all the Scotch liquor. They don't produce one bottle of Scotch. Black folk spend more money on theater tickets than whites. They don't own any damn theaters. And I can go on and on. So what I'm saying, they brought in leather. Black folk buy more leather than whites, but they don't control the darn thing. Sometimes I get very disappointed, Tariq, in my people, and I've spent all of my life in all levels of government with governors and presidents, taking trade missions around the world, and right now I'm just tired. I'm tired of telling black folk the same thing over and over. I said, read those books and get an understanding. Be a stand-up for yourself and have a group self-interest. Go back and rebuild your own communities. Forget about integration, civil rights. Build your own communities. You don't have to have white support on anything. If you build if you vote as a bloc, you're 44 million people. Create your own darn black independent party. Withdraw from the Democratic Party and Republican Party and say, I will not be a participant in either one of those parties until they started putting something on the agenda for black folk. Until you put something on there specifically and sold for black folk. If you put something on there talking about minorities and poor folk and people of color, I don't want to participate in it. I want to know exactly what we're going to get. And I want you to promise before we vote for you. And that's what you get your own independent party, and you say, we're going to vote in this country as a solid black. We're not going to run it. Don't run into political candidates when you get your independent party. You just say, we will vote solidly as 44 million strong for whoever promises and delivers to black folk. We don't care what your color is, but we'll go for you and we'll vote for you if you promise and deliver strictly and solely to black folk our needs are. Don't tell us about what handicapped and poor people need. Those are horizontal issues. We don't tell us about the gays and what trisexuals and bisexuals want. We don't want to hear about it. Strictly just blacks. And quit trying to let them divide black women against black men. And when you get a chance before I get off your program, I want to mention one thing that's a big opportunity for black folk, and I'll mention it to you when you tell when I let you return to your mic.
Now let me ask you this. What are some of the tangible things that black people can demand of a politician in exchange for our vote?
Oh, that's easy. My book's just running over those things. Every book I've written, I don't write books. I don't write books like that's why I started writing books when I got out of government, left President Carter, and I had I was a deputy political strategist for Clinton. I don't write books just to write. Go sit in the bathroom and just conjure up something, go write a book, and say we need to talk about imprisonment. We need to talk about more culture. We need to talk about this. No, I'm a forensic historian. I tell you where things started, where it is now, and what you do to get out of it. The things that we should be learning how to do. And everything that you could ask me is in those books. but I want black folks to start reading and make a tale teller out of Malcolm. When Malcolm says, if you ever want to have a secret and keep it a secret, put it in a book and a black person will never find it. He said, because black folk aren't going to read. I think black folk will read. And they've done a magnificent job up to this time, just the books I write. We sell books well to black folk. That's why Amazon, if I went to Amazon, I'd rather for people to go to the Power Numbers website and buy it. But they go to Amazon right now, they type in my name or Power Numbers, they'll find out all my books are rated as 5 stars. No other 5 books up there by any author is rated as 5 stars. My books hold a record. And then the one book, like Black Labor, White Wealth, that holds a record for the longest best-selling book in the history of the nation. Whites used to have a record by saying they had a book that was called In the Garden of Evil that was on the bestseller list for 319 weeks. My book, Black Labor, White Wealth, has been a bestseller for 25 years and still outsell any books. But the problem is that black folk don't demand these books be put into the schools. They should be in all the public schools and all the charter schools so that black kids from the first grade to the graduate schools get a chance to understand these issues and stand up and have some group self-interest and be proud to be black and tell everybody we are special people. Blacks are special people. That's what my books tell them. There's nobody in this country, Arabs, Asian, Hispanic, or whites from Europe, nobody's equal to black folk. You have produced more and been the strongest people in this country and built this country. You were the engines of economic development for this nation, and that you need to be recognized, appreciated, and compensated and reparated for what you've done for 460 years.
What about this trickle-down trick that they try to run on black people? When we say black folks need something, they'll say, well, we're going to have health care, and that's going to help black people.
If black folk go for that, again, I'm going to put them in the stupid ward. Put them in the corner, put them on there. I mean, and now, I don't know who would tell that lie. And see, that would be an insult to me if somebody even get in my face and tell me like that. You tell them during 360 years when they were building roads in the country, building bridges. Black folk were enslaved. How did that help a slave because you built a road, a bridge during slavery, huh? If you built all these plantations and enriched all these factories with cotton and rice and indigo, then clothing industry, the mining industry built off of black folk, and the black folk were still slaves. How did that trickle down to black folk when all the boats and everything was built, the industries are built, and black folk were outside as slaves? How did that trickle down to them? Did anybody tell you that about Dr. Anderson, a rising tide will lift all boats? I said, you got to be an idiot. I got all kind of in the Marine Corps, we had all kind of boats that got sunk, and they're still sitting on the damn bottom. Black folk are outside and underneath the system. Don't you ever let a Marine tell anybody get in your face and tell you some stuff about a rising tide will lift all boats, and when the same time you and your people are outside and underneath the damn boat with a hole in it.
Brother, how can everybody get your book one more time? Where can we get all 3 of the books and the DVDs?
Right. I want black folk to go to www.powernomics, PowerNomics, powernomics.com, and go to .com and they get the library pack. They get that library pack for $99. They get all 5 of my books that are classic books and not 5-star best-selling books around the world. They get those books with a free disc. DVD in it with it also for $99. You'll never find any other books like this. It's called a library pack. If you buy this library pack, you don't need any other books about history, not from whites or any other black. This is it for you. I came out of politics intentionally to write these books for you. Now, one other thing I want to mention to you, which is very important, like you talk about in media, we got to be able to not only to read and write, but we need to be able to communicate. And right now we got about 12,000 radio stations, licensed radio stations in the United States. We got about 5,000 TV stations licensed in the United States. We got about 5,000 daily newspapers in the United States. We got about 12,000 cable systems, and black folk don't own any of those things. That's why you can't communicate, because you can't mobilize. But right now, one of the things I want to tell you, there's a radio station right now that's coming up. And it's a magnificent station for black folk in one of the 35th biggest radio market in the United States that can be bought way below value, and it's been and from black oriented, and you can buy that station for a very reasonable price below cost, They can call the Powernomics Corporation. I'll tell you how to hook up and get that. And that's at the 35th Market in the United States. That's to be in Columbus, Ohio, in that area. And they have nothing. And we don't go, I want black folks to start getting these communication systems. And we're going to start through the Powernomics, show you how to get some cable systems. And you don't have any daily newspapers or anything. So you tell me, call the Powernomics Corporation, and again, and contact it by the email. That's the Powernomics Corporation email, and contact it us, and that's so we can try to get these. I want this station to be bought up in the next 30 days. It'll be available up until about December of this year, and it's not that expensive. It is an FM radio station, one of the top 35 markets. And all black folks can do is get the financing, put their money together, and be able to come to it and buy the damn station and have a facility that they can play it, they can broadcast. And just like whites who went out of the 12,000 stations, black folk own about 50 or 60 out of 12,000.
Brother, thank you so much for the call, brother. We're going to send everybody to the website. They're going to get the packs. Brother, we got to have you back on real soon. You're going to be in HC5, Hidden Colors 5. You were phenomenal in that. So, people, y'all stay tuned for that. And, again, everybody go get the Power Packs from Powernomics.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Anderson.
Oh, okay. And if I know you, Tariq, I can almost feel assured that if you start telling them and beat up on them once in a while, say, get up and start learning how to read and don't listen to, and prove that Malcolm X was a tale teller. Learn how to read and understand what the problems are and how to resolve them. And I'm expecting to have a big increase in the Powernomics Corporation and our people buying those library packs. And I'll call and let you know how well we're doing. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Keep me posted, definitely.
I will, and I love you, and thanks a million, buddy.
Thank you so much, brother. You be good. All right, that was Dr. Claude Anderson. Let me put my Mac and music back on. Dropping that hot fire. Let me put my Mac and music back on. Oh, man, so much good information. So much good information. Some people are saying the website isn't working. Did y'all crash the website for Powernomics.com? Maybe so many people are hitting the website up right now. Let me double check. Let me take a look at it. It might be so many people on it right now. Hold on. Hold on one second. Let me look real quick. All right. Let me take a look. I'm going to Google it. Powernomics. Okay. Let me see. It might be a lot of people on the site right now. Yeah, it's taking a little bit to load up. Okay, so it's a lot of people on the site right now. So that's probably the issue. But y'all keep trying or hit up Amazon. So yeah, people crashed the site. So many people went to the site. But yeah, Brother Anderson was dropping that hot fire as usual. He's dropping that hot fire as usual. You dig? And again, he's going to be in HC5 dropping more hot fire. You dig? But a couple of things I wanted to touch on today's show, in addition to Brother Anderson. It's just hard to follow that up. The brother's dropping so much game. I'm just talking about the whole fake confused thing. Because like Dr. Anderson would say, some people, we got to stop acting stuck on stupid. Black people, we're not as dumb as some of us pretend to be. A lot of us fake confused. A lot of us act like we're confused about stuff. Like when we were talking about being strategic with your vote, you know, you had people like Rotisserie Martin and all that. Beep, beep, beep. They told black people not to vote. Beep, 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 beep. Not to vote at all. Beep, beep, beep. Now, that's a motherfucker faking being confused. We didn't say don't vote at all, period. And they know that. Niggas ain't confused. Niggas try to act confused so that they can continue with their ass-kissing butter biscuit agenda. But niggas ain't confused like they pretend to be. Niggas act confused as convenience, because when you're confused, that means you ain't got to get up and do anything. When you're sitting up here acting dumb, acting like you don't understand, that gives you an out so that you don't have to produce nothing. Earlier today, I put up a post on Twitter. I said, black people in America, under a system of white supremacy, you should expect to be targeted by race soldiers. you should expect to be harmed medically. You should expect to be killed by a race soldier or harmed by a race soldier. You should expect to be mistreated economically and as far as employment. Because, see, we act confused. All this stuff happens to us, and we're like, oh, my God, I need some answers. Well, the answer is you're living in a system of white supremacy. As our brother Neely Fuller says, you're supposed to be harmed as a black person in a system of white supremacy. You're supposed to be killed unjustly. You're supposed to be discriminated against economically. You're supposed to be. We have to start looking at it that simply. You should expect it. When you leave your house, you got to expect that you may or may not come home. That's a harsh reality. Lying to yourself and acting confused is not going to help you. And I made that tweet, and some sister jumped in the comments underneath, and she was like, well, damn, Tariq, since you're saying all that, what do you suggest? What are our solutions? What should we do? What should we do about that? Can you give us some solutions? Now, right there is a Negro acting confused. Because, you know, I've given solutions in all the movies and all that. I put out several movies giving solutions. And niggas, they'll look at everything else except those solutions. Niggas can dig up everything under the sun about you except some damn solutions on how to deal with white supremacy. Niggas try to dig up bullshit on me all the time. Y'all dig up old pictures of me, old rap mixtapes. Y'all find shit from the 80s and 90s, but when it comes to some solutions, where they at though? Where them solutions at? I don't see them. I'm legally blind. You don't see that. You don't never see the damn solutions. That's niggas playing dumb. Niggas acting confused. And I responded to the young lady. I said, well, look, the solution is to treat the white supremacists the same way you treat black folks you don't like. You understand, when you're mistreated by another black person, all of a sudden you ain't confused. You know how to handle that other black person. If a black person does something you don't like, you magically know the answer to how to deal with that nigga. You know how to deal with other black folks real quick. It ain't no, oh, Lord, I forgive. Maybe the Lord is going to help me. No, none of that I forgive. None of that I'm confused. Oh, Lord, I just needs to know the answer. Somebody bring the answer to me, Jesus. None of that. You know how to deal with a nigga who wronged you. You deal with them swiftly and quickly with no forgiving. I say that to black people. You want a solution to deal with white supremacy? Treat them the same way you treat black folks who do harm to you. All of a sudden, when white mommy, white daddy come around and do something fucked up to you, you don't know nothing now. Oh, Lord, I need a leader. Who's going to be my leader to take this task on for me? Now you need a damn leader. You don't need a leader when it comes to dealing with another black person. A leader is just somebody you can hide behind. That's why I always tell people, I don't want to be your damn leader. Niggas use me to hide behind because I'm bold. Y'all know I'm bold and I don't give a fuck about the white supremacists and I'll tell them about themselves. Ooh, you gonna be our leader? No, nigga, you ain't about to hide behind me. No, you're not. No, no, no. We're all the leader. Forget all that feigning confusion nonsense. Cats love acting confused when it comes to dealing with the white supremacists. We're not confused. We're not confused as we pretend to be. You're scared, and a lot of people hide their fear behind confusion. It's better to say, I don't know. I'm lost. I don't know the answer. It's better to say that than to say I'm scared. It's better to be confused than to say I'm scared as shit. Like if somebody harm your child or whatever, and all of a sudden you're supposed to go get vengeance on that. Oh, I don't know where he at. What street he on? Lord, I don't know what. How I get there? man, my car ain't got no gas money. I ain't got no gas. I don't know which way to go. My GPS ain't working. You dig? Niggas start getting confused all of a sudden. Now, niggas, we're know-it-alls as far as everything else. You talk to the average Negro, they know every goddamn thing. If you talk to the average Negro, they know everything except when it comes to white supremacy. See, they get that from the white supremacists. You talk to the average Negro, especially about sports or anything. Niggas are experts. Man, what they need to do, see what they got to do, man. Dallas, if they want to take this thing, man, they're going to have to get some better defense on there. They're going to have to get a better coach, man. The front office brass, they don't know what they're doing. They fucking around. They're going to need to get a real somebody who's a real good quarterback, somebody with good legs on them, man. Somebody with a lot of talent on paper, man. Not just on paper, man. They got to have a lot of heart, brother. So what they're going to have to do, get a better defensive line for them. I mean, niggas talk all that bullshit. We experts at everything. You go to a barbershop, it sounds like a fucking college with all the knowledge flowing through there. See, understand, brother, the earth is 25,000 miles from the moon, brother. And see, the moon is made up of asteroids and gases. And those asteroids and gases permeate the mind of the community, brothers. Your niggas are astrologists, everything. When it comes to everything else, niggas are experts. If it's raining outside, you know what that is, brother? With that rain like that, brother? See, these are machines that the government are creating, man. They're creating these machines, and what they're doing, they're putting pig's blood in the chemtrails, brother. So they get these chemtrails, and they fly them around the neighborhood with the pig blood in them, and what it does is it messes with the melanin and the DNA, brother, because the micronucleoid acids within the system, brother, it really affects and redilates the pineal gland, understand? So when they start messing with that pineal gland, that messes with the electrolytes in the blood system, brother. And what that does, that affects the prostate in a negative way. That's why niggas out here farting dynamite, brother. So niggas are doctors, astrologists. They'll tell you everything. Now, the minute you say something about handling some white supremacy, all of a sudden, huh? White supremacy? Well, I don't know about no white supremacy. Now, I don't believe in no white supremacy. I don't know about all that. Because first of all, ain't no white supremacy. It's what it is, it's reptilian supremacy, because we're really ruled by reptiles, brother. That's what it is. It's the reptiles that's running everything. See, we got to get off that white supremacy bullshit, man. That's that hidden color shit. No, that's y'all Hotep niggas. It's really reptoid supremacy, brother. Because, see, what they do at night, the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergs, brother, they turn into reptiles and they sleep in trees. That's what we need to... dumb nigga shit. Niggas are know-it-alls and start talking crazy when it comes time to handling white supremacy. All of a sudden, you confused and you're talking the dumb shit. When it comes to white supremacy, all of a sudden, pass me the blunt and the scissor up. Now it's blunt and scissor up time. We're going to have to put the blunts and the scissor up down and start getting right, because that confusion, that's going to affect not just us, it's going to affect our children. Because see, we love being in the dark and playing dumb and then letting our children out here to be harmed. Y'all remember that case up in Michigan where the black boy, he's 14, 15, he was his dumbass mama sent him to school. They were in a new neighborhood. She sent him to school without his phone, by himself. He missed the bus, so she let him walk to school. He didn't have a phone. He didn't know his way around the area. So he's in a white neighborhood, walking up to strangers, asking them how to get to school. The boy went up to somebody's door, knocked on their door. The white supremacists came out the house blasting on this boy. Damn near killed him. The boy ran for his life. Well, they sentenced the white supremacist today. Now, they gave him a little bullshit slap on the wrist, a 4 to 10 year sentence, because the dude lied. He lied and said that he tripped, but the surveillance video showed that he ran out blasting. He didn't trip. He didn't do it by accident. That's what really got him lying. If he didn't lie and said that he was scared for his life, he probably would have got off, but he got caught in a lie. That's what got him those 4 years. Let's be very clear. So And y'all know how I feel. I tell people all the time, black people, y'all don't let black children, especially under the age of 18, you don't let them walk around by themselves at all. What kind of dumb shit is that? But they did the sentencing today. And I want y'all to hear the mom. What the moms. The mom said some real soft shoe mammy shit while they were in court. This is the mom. This is the case. And I want y'all to listen to what the mom says. It wasn't no forgiveness shit, but this is what she said.
16-year-old Brennan Walker missed his school bus and got lost walking to school in Rochester Hills. So he knocked on the Ziegler home asking for directions. Instead, he was shot at. The Ziegler home had been broken into a few times before, so today Brennan's mother brought up the elephant in the room.
I tried to keep race out of it, but we all know, you know, that's pretty much what it was. It's not fair for people to dislike us about something that we can't control.
Let me back that up. We tried to keep race out of it. For what? If it's racial, it's racial. So she's just desperate to be in denial about it. Now, she would have been on some forgiveness shit if she could have been. But I tried to keep race out of it. For what? But listen to this fool.
Fair for people to hold on. Let me take it back.
Today, Brennan's mother brought up the elephant in the room.
I tried to keep race out of it, but we all know, you know, that's pretty much what it was. It's not fair for people to dislike us about something that we can't control. If there was a button that I could press for me to pick what color I could be, just so I wouldn't have to deal with this type of stuff, I would have to be your color so I could survive.
What? Did y'all hear this coon ass mammy? What the fuck you up there? You apologizing for being black? Black people, get off that dumb shit. What you talking? That's damn near worse than forgiveness to me. That's worse than forgiveness. What you apologizing for being black? The fuck is you talking? Black folks, we get up here and just start babbling all of our coon self hate. If I could push the button, I'd be white like you. The fuck you talking about? Let me play that again. We always wearing our self-hatred on the goddamn sleeve. Listen to this fool one more time.
Brennan's mother brought up the elephant in the room.
I tried to keep race out of it, but we all know, you know, that's pretty much what it was. It's not fair for people to dislike us about something that we can't control. If there was a button that I could press for me to pick what color I could be, just so I wouldn't have to deal with this type of stuff, I would have to be your color so I could survive.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Now you see the mentality that she has. Now you see why this self-hating mammy let her son out the house without telling him what the hell is up. Black folks, y'all can't have this mentality with children. You can't have this stupid ass mentality and letting your kids out the house with your dumb fucking mentality like this. Your dumb, self-hating, in denial, fake, confused ass sending your kids out the house with that mentality that you have. You don't want to face the facts, so you gonna send your kids to the goddamn lion's den? Do you know how many white supremacists are out there in Michigan? Michigan has some of the most white supremacist groups and organizations and skinheads and all these. Man, Michigan is crawling with white supremacists. And her being in this dumbass denial, you ain't lacing your kids with the game because you self-hating. You think if you just close your eyes and just ignore it, the shit is gonna go away. So you can fantasize about being white. That's what that is. I wish I was white. Oh, Lord, I wish I was your color. What kind of Sambo shit is that to say? And all you niggas out here who feel like that, let me tell you something. Too bad you ain't sitting in confused Negro fantasy land. You ain't gonna be white with your black ass. You ain't going to be white. You're not going to be accepted. So get off that bullshit fantasy land. I just want to be like you. That's a way of soft shoe cooning so you can get sympathy. That's you elevating them, telling them, you is my God. I's wants to be like my God. I try harder. I wish I could. If I's could push a button, I's just can't do it. Lord Jesus. That's pathetic slave talk. That's submissive, pathetic ass slave talk. Y'all stand up for yourselves, goddammit. Go in here and say, look, that shit was about race. Send his white supremacist ass to jail. You in there making it soft on the dude. I'm sorry for being black, Lord. I tried better. It ain't fair. I can't be white, Lord Jesus. It ain't fair, Lord Jesus. My God, reach out to somebody in the chat room said reach out to her for what? To wipe the butter off her fingers from the biscuits? I'm good. And let me say this. A lot of these mammies like that, when they start talking like that, you got to watch them, because some of them have secret contempt for the black boys. Some of them have secret contempt for the black boys. And I want y'all to feel me on that one. Women like that, there's a secret contempt for those black sons, because those mammies like that, they don't really like black men. You got knocked up by a nigga by accident back in the day, but deep down, they don't like black men. When they're talking like that, they want a zaddy in their lives. They want a zaddy so zaddy can make them feel safe. So they got this black kid, this black male lingering around that they have to take care of. But on a subconscious level, I look at that on a subconscious level, to let your kid out like that, to put him in the line of danger like that, and you fucking know better. There's a subconscious amount of contempt for the black male. That's one of them wannabe bedwinches. She's a wannabe bedwinch. She just can't find nobody to bedwinch with her. We got to watch the mentality of some of these Negroes. And I argue with some of these bedwinches all the time. These bedwinches, you can tell who they are. They hop on my Twitter timeline arguing with me about going in on white supremacist males. I get bedwinches on my timeline all the time. Why are you talking about them? How come you don't never talk about the black men who be out here raping folks? These are bedwinches. Why are you talking about Zaddy? Why you gotta bring up race all the time? Black men be out here raping and abusing you. Why don't you talk about that? These are mammies and bedwinches. We got to understand what we got among black society. That woman got up in court talking about if she could push a button, she could be white. That's the whole staff of The Root. That's the whole staff of Ebony. That's who they hire at The Root. Ebony, The Griot, Madame Noir. Those are the Negroes they hire. And they unleash these assholes on black society. See, the thing is, niggas get real honest when they get around white people. She got up in that courtroom around all them white people, and white people, they're your gods. For a Negro, white mommy and white daddy, that's your god. Niggas get real honest around their gods. White mama, white daddy, Lord, what, I just want to be like you. I'm sorry my black ass is scaring you. See, niggas, that's... those niggas raised by those single mammies, you see how they get when they get in an interrogation room. You look at First 48, they get in there with white daddy start talking that white daddy shit to them. Not the ones yelling at them. You notice whenever they get yelled at, nah, those aren't the ones that get them. It's the white dude who comes in petting on them. Hey, Donnell, listen, Donnell. I know you didn't mean to kill nobody, buddy. I know, well, Donnell, listen to me. When you woke up this morning, I know you didn't plan on killing anybody, buddy. I know things get... Donnell, you want a grape soda? We got a grape soda for you, Donnell. Listen, I know you didn't mean to kill nobody, Donnell, but I know you were there, okay? Just tell me what happened, Donnell. Everything's going to be fine, Donnell. But we know you were there. We saw surveillance video, Donnell. We know you were there. So, Donnell, tell me what happened, buddy.
What?
Well, first of all, I just went in there to steal a Kit Kat. I wasn't going to kill nobody. And then when I stole a Kit Kat, they came in behind me and started shooting. And I was in the corner eating a Kit Kat. I didn't even see it. Okay, Donnell, that's good. Now, who was it? It was Dontrarius and Fruquan, but I didn't see him. Okay, Donnell, it's okay. It's okay, Donnell. You did real good, Donnell. Finish your grape soda. Then all of a sudden, Darnell's stupid ass just got life with Fruquan them. At the end of the show, you see that nigga sentence. After the show, Darnell was sentenced to 3 life sentences for the murder at the liquor store. Next week on First 48. Joe, dumbass. You dig? White daddy know how to finesse his Negroes. Negroes are easy to finesse because you want a white daddy. You want white Jesus, and that's what white daddy is, white Jesus. And niggas like to pretend to be confused about that. But anyway, y'all, let me get out of here, man. It's been a good show, man. I'm glad everybody got a chance to listen to our brother, Dr. Claude Anderson, spit that hot fire and all that good stuff. Anyway, man, go get your Malema shirts at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Also, get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Very good movie. Get that DVD. Or you can also get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com. We have it in a pack. You can get a whole pack. We have it at a discount rate. You can get all 4 Hidden Colors movies with the 1804 DVD included at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Y'all need to see those films. That's like required viewing. And also, my Atlanta folks, man, come join me and my group, Mink Slide, live in concert December 22nd in Atlanta. Center stages, us and the group, the APX. We're going to be rocking the house, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's show. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. I'm going holler.